The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 467. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. This is a very special episode. Dare I say it is my favorite episode that I've ever done. And I'm sharing it with you again because it's been almost 240 episodes since the last time that I played it as an encore episode. And I'm going to give you a little bit of backstory as to why I'm putting it out this week. But let me give you some background. In 2018, there was a gentleman by the name of Matt Sweeney who was putting together a wrestling convention right here in Columbus, Ohio. And so I got the opportunity to go to the convention and see who all was there. And let me tell you, it's a who's who of legendary superstars from wrestling. I mean, Tugboat, Coco Beware, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Mouth of the South Jimmy Hart, Sergeant Slaughter, the One Man Gang, Tatanka, Road Warrior Animal, Bushwhacker Luke. I mean, there was so many stars under one roof. It was just amazing to be there. And to top it all off, I got the opportunity to talk to a few of these legends. And so that's what you're going to hear. You're going to hear my conversations with Cowboy Bob Orton Jr., Tino Santana, the One Man Gang, Tatanka, and one of my childhood heroes, one half of the greatest tag team on the face of God's green earth, Road Warrior Animal. And I just got to tell you, Right there tells you why this is my favorite episode. The fact that as a kid growing up, I loved the Road Warriors. I got a chance to talk to Road Warrior Animal. I was like an 8-year-old inside my mind, just freaking out. But nonetheless, you're going to hear this episode because of an individual who is a fan of not only the PVD Cast, but also my sister podcast, Matt Talk. That gentleman's name is Daniel Snow. And just over the weekend, he and I were talking. We were messaging back and forth a little bit about television shows and movies. And he's a big wrestling fan. And so somehow we ended up talking about wrestling conventions. And that sprung me into a conversation with Daniel about wrestle legends. I was inspired after we talked. And I thought to myself, you know what? He's never heard the episode. As I said, it's been 240 some odd episodes ago. I'm going to put it back out. And so I really do appreciate Daniel for giving me that little like nudge or that inspiration, if you will, to put this out. I think you're going to thoroughly enjoy this episode. But before we get to my conversations with these great wrestling superstars, I need to throw out some quick thanks to a great sponsor of the PVD Cast. I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They are located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have tons of comics for your collection. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, comics from all the different eras, whether golden, silver, bronze, or modern. They've got a great staff. They've got a wonderful pull system. They got you covered. You can stop by the store, as I mentioned before, or you can follow them online. WGComics.com is a web address. They're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that out of the way, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversations from Wrestle Legends.
right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down with Cowboy Bob Orton Jr. Sir, how are you today?
I'm doing good, thank you.
You're doing good? How's the show been treating you?
Great, great. It was really rocking there for a while.
So, if I may ask real quick, starting things off, your father was a very accomplished wrestler.
Yeah.
Your brother was an accomplished wrestler.
Yeah.
So, what was life like growing up in the Orton household? With you, your brother, and your dad all, you know, kind of being very, very macho men, so to speak, I'm sure, and kind of, was there a lot of conflict, or a lot of goofing around?
No, not at all. Dad was always on the road when we were growing up, and Barry was 8 years younger than I am, so by the time I left the house, Barry was only like 12 or 13.
Okay.
So, no conflict at all. We
pretty typical.
We were lucky to get to see each other.
Pretty typical upbringing.
Yeah, yeah. If you can count your dad being gone all the time, typical.
right, exactly. when you broke in, you spent a lot of time in the Mid-Atlantic area.
Well, I started in Florida.
Started in Florida, and
then I went to Georgia for a little while, then I went back to Florida for, 3 years. And then I think I went to Dallas and then back to Georgia for 2 or 3 years.
Did you enjoy life?
Then I got to Charlotte.
Did you enjoy life on the road?
Well, you're away from your family,
right,
and my wife and everything, but at that time, that's what you had to do to make a living, so.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, had to enjoy it or be miserable.
In Mid-Atlantic, you formed a pretty devastating tag team with Dick Slater.
Right.
Do you have any interesting or cool stories to tell about Dick Slater?
Oh, Dickie was a great guy. I just being on the road with him, and he had a little Porsche, and he drove that car, buddy. He scared me half to death, especially in the Carolinas going through them mountains. Good Lord. That Porsche held the road. I got to say that for it.
Okay. Wow, that's a great story. Thank you for that. Do you have any unique memories or special memories of WrestleMania 1? Because you played a very integral role in that main event.
No, we were just glad, that it did as well as it did. Being out there with Muhammad Ali and Liberace and Mr. T was a little different. Of course, Hogan and Roddy and Paul, couldn't have been a better mix of guys.
And I'm sure coming from the territories, being around those other stars like Liberace and Muhammad Ali, that was probably a little bit of a different take for you.
Yeah, it was different, but very enjoyable, very nice guy. All of them are very nice guys.
You also had a pretty awesome tag team with Magnificent Morocco, Don Morocco.
Yeah.
Who's tougher, Dick Slater or Don Morocco? I'll put you on the spot.
In case I run into them, they're both about the same.
Well done, sir.
Yeah, there you go. Got to be a politician nowadays.
Then you also spent some time towards the tail end of your career in a couple of other unique promotions, Herb Abrams' UWF.
Right.
And then also the AWF, which Tito Santana and Sergeant Slaughter were also involved with.
Right.
What did you think of those two companies? Because they were kind of on the, you might as well say they're starting just from the get-go. Like, what was your thoughts on those two companies, if I may ask?
Well, my thoughts were plain and simple. They tried to spread out way too fast. They had the talent, but they spread everything too thin. You can't go nationwide until you establish someplace, that you can base out of. And neither one of them felt like that was what they wanted to do. Herb Abrams up in the Northeast, we were doing real well, but then all of a sudden he's going all the way across the country. And it costs a lot of money to fly everybody over there stuff like that.
Sure.
But had he stayed in the Northeast, who knows what would have happened, and then Paul should have stayed around the Chicago area. We do real well around Chicago, but there's another guy that tried to go nationwide way before it was time to go nationwide. So.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Did you not wrestle as a face in UWF for Herb Abrams? Or were you always a heel?
I was always a heel.
Okay, all right. I thought for a moment that there was a time where he had you booked as a face, and I was going to ask you if you enjoyed working as a face or as a heel more.
Oh, a heel. Big
heel?
Yeah.
Well, you're one of the best heels that there ever has been, sir. I will tell you that.
Well,
give
thank
you props.
You. Appreciate it.
And with that, Darren, I'm just going to close with one quick question about your son.
Yeah.
What advice did you give him when he got into the business?
Keep his mouth shut and his ears open.
I think that's advice any wrestler could use.
Yeah.
Well, Cowboy yeah. Bob Orton, thank you very much. I don't want to take up all your time. And do you have anything else you want to say?
I'm proud of Randy.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm done.
Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt you, sir.
You got it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on over. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down here with Tito Santana. Sir, how are you today?
I'm doing very good. We had a great crowd, so it really makes me happy.
Yeah. Do you enjoy being at conventions where fans can come up and interact with you?
Yes, I do, because, you know, they bring back a lot of memories. They always remind you of different stories that, you uh-huh. know, they remember better than I do. So, you know, it's great talking and sharing stories with the fans.
Yeah, that's excellent. Let's go back a little bit and talk a little bit about your early days in professional wrestling, because you were at West Texas State, correct, to play
yes,
football?
Yes, I was.
And then you kind of fell into the wrestling game, so to speak.
Yes, I did. I was lucky enough to be playing. Tully Blanchard was yep. the quarterback, yep. and his father was a promoter in San Antonio, and I was not a wrestling fan. I had no desire to be a wrestler, and before you know it, I played professional football for a couple of years, and you know, I end up being a professional wrestler, which turned out to be the best thing I ever did.
Yeah, excellent. Hi, Haley, how are you?
Who's this pretty girl?
This is Haley. So, what do you think is probably the best match you've ever had? Can you even quantify that with as many matches as you've had?
It's very difficult. You know, I had some great, great matches with Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we used to really click. But, you know, the longest feud in the history of the WWF was with Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Correct, a very historic feud, yeah.
And we had, I mean, the people, you know, really believed our matches, because we used to go out there and, you know, we had a dogfight, you know, yeah. pretty much every night. You know, I used to come home and tell my wife, I've had easier street fights than you know, work wrestling with Greg the Hammer, you know, and we'd come back and, you know, we drew a lot of money all over the WWF. You know, we sold out arenas without Hulk Hogan being on the card.
Yeah, okay. Because were you at that time running two separate squads, so to speak? Two
yeah.
B team and an A team, so to speak?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
If I may ask real quick, whose idea was it to put you with Rick Martel as Strikeforce?
Well,
did you have any input, or was that just handed down from front office?
Rick Martel had teamed up with Tom Zink.
Correct.
And they were called, I forgot what...
Can-Am Connection.
The Can-Am Connection, and all of a sudden, Tom Zink just, you know, packed his bags and left mm-hmm. in the middle of the night, and they asked me if I wouldn't mind being teamed up with Rick Martel, you know, before we even had the name Strikeforce. Vince McMahon, they were going to call us Border Patrol. And
Border Patrol, wow, okay.
And I said, that could turn us heel, you know, because
yeah.
I don't know if you remember immigrants crossing the border in Mexico were dying in railroad cars
mm-hmm.
of heat exhaustion. So I said, Vince, that might not be a good idea, because, you know, there's a lot of
yeah.
Mexicans that are dying in the railroad cars. And he says, you got a point. And then he came up with the Strikeforce, which turned out to be a great name.
Yeah, it was. And you had some familiarity with Rick Martel, because both of you competed in the AWA for a while, correct, in the early 80s?
Yeah, we had teamed up in the AWA.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So you had previous
right.
actual working relationship
yeah.
with him at tag teaming. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we were very successful in the AWA also.
Yeah. Okay. You also, and this is just because I'm a wrestling nerd, I have to ask, you were the first and last AWF champion. back in, I want to say, 92, 93, 94, somewhere in that era, the AWF. How did you get involved with that company and that promotion?
Ironically, me and Sergeant Slaughter were the ones that were booking.
Okay.
We were part of the company. We had gotten a percentage that we could make it go. And we had a tournament, and I won the tournament. The people who were investing the money told us that they had a lot more money than they ended up having.
Okay.
So they ran out of money, and, you know, they folded.
Was that the first time you ever booked? Or
yeah.
Had you booked another territory?
No,
that was it?
That was the first time, yeah.
What do you think makes a good booker?
Well, knowing the business in the first place.
Right.
You
true.
Know, not everybody, you know, not everybody has a complete understanding. I mean, I learned a lot from Sergeant Slaughter. Sergeant Slaughter has a great mind for, I think he had, at one point, he was doing some of the booking for Vince, but, you know, something happened, but I think he could have done a good job if he would have gone with him.
Are you still teaching?
Yes, I am.
Do you enjoy it?
Yeah. Oh, I love teaching.
You do?
This year is going to be my 22nd year.
Really?
Yeah.
What grade level again? High school age?
No, middle school.
No, middle school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spanish in the middle school.
Oh, that's a challenging group.
Yes, it is.
Well, yeah. Tito Santana, thank you for stopping by. I don't want to take up a lot of your time. Thanks for just spending a few minutes with me here on the PVD Cast to chat about your career. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Arriba!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down with the one-man gang. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well, and, you know, nobody really wants to hear your voice. They want to hear the one-man gang doing the talking around here. Why don't you just leave the studio? I'll take over the podcast because I'm the one-man gang. I'm Akeem, and I'm about other 100 more gimmicks that people don't even remember. So what you got to say about that, punk?
Well, one, I'm flattered that I just got promoed by you. Thank you very much. But I would like to share real quick, if I may, the first time I saw you on my TV. It was World Class Wrestling.
What was you doing? You was probably eating a bowl of Fruit Loops or some chocolatey Pebbles or something like that in front of your TV set in your diapers all full of poop, watching the one-man gang beat somebody up, because that's what I do the best. That's what I've been doing for 30, 40, 50 years, whatever it's been. I beat people up while you was eating Fruity Pebbles, pooping in your diaper.
That was pretty much accurate.
Now, go ahead. What are you going to say, punk?
I was just going to say, I remember the first time I saw you on World Class Wrestling, you were taking on Iceman King Parsons.
Well, whoop-de-doo about Iceman. Who cares about Iceman King Parsons? I whipped his butt. Do you understand that? Have you ever seen the matches I had with him? I knocked him out. We had a taped fist match in Texas Stadium. I knocked the man clear out, and I beat him right in the middle of the ring. Myself and Playboy Gary Hart, we were the meanest, toughest two people walking the face of the earth. We could do anything we wanted to. The Von Erichs trembled in their boots every time I showed up.
Even Bruiser Brody, did he tremble in his boots as well?
Bruiser Brody trembled also. I hit him so hard he started crying one night.
That is an unbelievable story.
What do you say? You calling me a liar?
No.
Is that what you saying?
I'll tear this
studio apart right now. If I say the man was crying, he was crying. If you pooped in your diaper, you pooped in your diaper. Do you understand that, punk?
I understand wholeheartedly. You also just ran roughshod over everybody in UWF.
Well, you know, I don't know what roughshod means. I ain't sure about that word. Is that a good word?
That's a good word.
I was a dominant. Yes, I was dominant in UWF. I was the UWF world champion.
True.
So, of course, I was dominant. I was on top of the world. I was the man at the top. Everybody wanted a shot at the world champion, and I carried the world championship, and I carried it proudly, and I carried it for a long time, and nobody took it away till I wanted to lose. I lost to the big boss man, but he was going as Big Bubba Douglas or Big Bubba whatever back in them days. Yeah, he took it off of me, but then later on he come up there and begged to be my tag team partner, Big Boss Man. Oh, please, please, Mr. Akeem, can we become tag team partner, because I want to become famous like you are. Yes, I gave him a chance. Nice guy. He was okay. Slick, I begged Slick. Slick, please let him in. You know, Slick hated the man. Please let him in, Slick. So we became a tag team, and then we ran over everybody in WWF. Yes, I said WWF, not WWE.
You even spent some time in WCW.
What about it? What do you want to know?
Well, how was your time in WCW?
Did you see me on WCW? Where was you at?
Well, that particular time, I probably was just starting college.
I don't want to hear. You think you so smart because you went to college. I didn't go to college. I'm a smart man. I may not know what roughshod means, but I'm a smart man. Yeah, I was in WCW. You know what title I had there, don't you? I was United States Heavyweight Champion. I'm in the record books. That's right. I'm one of the few elite people that carry the United States Heavyweight Championship, the same one they got up there in WWE. I carried the same title in WCW for a long time. I beat everybody. People were scared to death of me. Couldn't never get no matches, because as soon as they saw they was going against one-man gang, they was a bunch of cowards and ran the other way. Like you would, because you're a punk.
I would. That's fact. Anything you want to say to the fans?
I don't have to say anything. I'm the one-man gang. They come to me. Do you understand that?
I do. I understand that. Well, thank you for taking
it. Hey, did I tell you it was over with?
No, I'm sorry.
I'll say something. Just shut your mouth. I want to thank all the fans out there listening right now. Just get up there, wipe your mouth off, get that ketchup mustard off your mouth. I want to thank all you fans for making me who I am. Without you fans buying tickets and coming out and spitting on me and throwing junk at me and throwing tobacco on me and everything, beer on me and everything else, I would never have been anything. I thank each and every one of you because you paid my mortgage. I love you all out there. This is the one-man gang talking at you. R. Akeem, I'm signing off. I'm going to give it back to this punk over here. I don't like the way he looks. He's giving me a bad look right now. I might have to slap him right in the mouth. Okay, take it back over, punk.
Well, thank you, one-man gang, for joining me here. Thank you very, very much. Sitting down with Tatanka, sir. How are you today?
Doing fantastic, man. You're doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Did you have fun here at the Wrestle Legends?
Yeah, really cool. Because, well, it's cool. We get to see these same guys all the time. Because, number one, a lot of us are on Legends contracts. But we do a lot of these events, man. We travel a lot, man. We're on the road every single week, most of
us.
Wow. I just came from being in way up northern territories in Canada. Then I went to London, Texas. I'm here. I go back. It's New York after New York. Following week after that, Texas. Following week after that, Vegas.
Wow. So you are a busy man.
Yeah. So
you are.
So we stay pretty busy, but that's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah. You enjoy interacting with the fans?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, if you. Well, you're going to have a short career if you don't. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about your career. You started off in bodybuilding, correct?
Yes, correct.
And then you transitioned over into pro wrestling after a quick encounter with Nature Boy Buddy Rogers, right?
You got it, correct. Okay. Definitely a big athlete. You know, played football. Remember the Titans, high school, Hampton, Virginia. Big football in that area. Went on a college scholarship. Tried out for the Dolphins. Made the cuts. Could have played for them, but that's when a wrestling scout met me.
Okay.
And that's how we got involved in the wrestling. I wasn't an avid fan that I was watching it every Saturday morning, but I started watching and I started going, wait a minute, this is a bunch of athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And I started seeing sold-out Coliseum. I started seeing T-shirts, foam tomahawks, foam 2x4s. Yeah, that was before I got there. You know what I'm already thinking? Yeah, tomahawk, yeah. So I started seeing all these guys and going, wait a minute, man, these guys are making some money.
Yeah.
You know, so then before making a decision what I wanted to do, I decided to go with wrestling because with football, pro football, even though I could sign with the NFL, you get hurt, you're done for.
Right.
Wrestling, they work through an injury. They allow you to get healed up because not everyone is a professional wrestler. It takes a special breed to be what we are.
It does. Yes. And you started off in SAPW, South Atlantic. It was also North American, I think, too.
Yeah, North American Wrestling Association at first. Right. Then went South Atlantic Pro.
Right. George Scott's promotion.
You got it correct?
Yes. And one of the people that I have heard took you under his wing was Chief Wahoo McDaniel.
Oh, yes.
What'd you learn from Wahoo?
Probably the biggest thing I learned from Wahoo was in the first time being in the ring with him, right after getting started, we were talking about what natives do in the ring, and we're talking about about being physical. He's a tough guy. I'm coming from football, tough guy, just like him. You know, we're the kind of guys who really fight you.
Okay.
So he was showing me about the reverse knife edge chop, which is big in this industry. But he's talking about, this is a big thing with the natives. You know, this has been a native move for many, many, many years, even before me. He said, when you give guys a chop, you got to lay it in. So I gave a kid a chop, and it was intense, because I chop hard.
Okay.
But Wahoo was like, no, let me show you how. Shot the kid off the rope, chopped the guy. I thought the guy was dead. Bam! He took, boom! I was like, oh, my God. Wahoo said, always lay it in. So for all of you out there that's listening and had to take a chop from Tatanka, I'm sorry. It's because of Wahoo McDaniels. And that's the truth.
And
that's the bottom line, because Tatanka said so.
You also had to work with Ken Shamrock in SAPW, too.
Yeah, another tough guy. Yeah. World's toughest man, you know, at that time. And just a great athlete. He's coming out of MMA. I'm coming out of football. So the only thing we knew how to do was hit each other hard. I mean, literally, that's what we did.
Yeah.
We wrestled very hard, very physical. It was great. Kim, I had some great time with Ken Shamrock. Vince Torelli was his work name at that time. Just a great guy.
Yeah.
But a tough guy, too. Shooter, fighter.
Yeah, and you didn't have an easy path there. There was that first stop in SAPW.
No, I mean, I've got broken in really good right from the get-go. I was with tough guys. I was Matt Bourne.
Yes.
That liked to fight back in that time. Vince Torelli, you know. God, I mean, who else was there at that time that were just tough guys? I mean, Wahoo was tough, but I never had to wrestle against him. But we just had great talent that was there at that time, you know, and great superstars to help train us.
Yeah.
Another guy that was very instrumental with me was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Fantastic. Because I lived in Charlotte at the time.
Okay.
When I started the business.
Okay.
So he took me underneath his wing, too.
What did he teach you that was different from what Wahoo taught you? Obviously, Wahoo was very
physical, you know, but if you remember, the Dragon was just a great, great baby face.
Yes.
Could tell a great story. Great facial expressions. Connected with the fans. That's the kind of stuff that he taught. Just a great baby face. Fantastic.
And then soon you got the call up to the WWF at the time.
Yes, correct.
Who came up with the idea for the name Tatanka?
Actually, Vince McMahon allowed me to have my own name.
Really?
He said, listen, you're truly Native American. I don't want to disrespect your heritage at all. He said, won't you come back with some native names for your character to me? So I did a lot of research. A lot of native names are 3 or 4 or 5 words, like dances with wolves, stands with a fist, if you remember the movie. So when I came across the word Tatanka, I was like, wow, that's great, because they can share it, Tatanka. You got to think about that with wrestling. But also the meaning, it's a Lakota name, Sioux name, that meant buffalo. So Vince loved that, because when I told him what it meant, he says, that's great, you're going to run over all your opponents. And that's exactly what happened. I went 2 years undefeated.
What was your opinion on the heel turn when you joined the Million Dollar Corporation?
Fantastic, because it's the thing that everybody talks about still today.
Really?
Most people think, oh, that was bad. You were a baby face. We loved you. You shouldn't have turned. You should have stayed. So they think it's bad. But it's not bad, because you got to have two guys in the ring working. It's not one guy working. It's two guys working. And the good guy is only going to be as good as bad as that bad guy is, good as he is. So when I made that turn, the storyline was done so right Then when I made that turn, it made Let's Go higher, and it just turned people totally against me. And that's the perfect turn. That's usually they wrote it as one of the best heel turns because no one expected it. Everyone thought it was going to be Lex. The story was told perfectly. Everyone thought it was going to be Lex. We did totally opposite. What? No one's ever came up to me and said, I knew it was going to be you. No one ever came. They always thought it was going to be Lex.
Yeah.
And guess what? That's why it hits them so big, because we shocked them. We surprised them. And guess what? That's what you want. It's what you want when you're being entertained.
Yeah.
You don't want to know what's going to happen. What? That's what you want.
So, closing out here. Is there anything that you want to tell the fans out there?
Well, thanks for all your support. We appreciate each and every one of you. Anyone who knows me, they know that I'm very, very personable with fans. I speak to fans through all my social media. I post stuff that people make of me. I post stuff that people send to me. So I'm one of the guys that are very, very appreciative. All of us are appreciative of our fans, but I'm especially appreciative, you know, of all the fans, because I'm one of the guys that understand without the fans, what do you have?
You got it.
So the fan base is very, very important. So we appreciate you, WWE Universe. Tatanka's still going strong. Tatanka's still around. Of course, I'm on contract with WWE, so you never know where I could show up.
Ooh, all right. Of is there course. Any social media things? You mentioned social media.
Yeah, Twitter is Native Tatanka. Instagram is Native Tatanka. My website is nativetatanka.com. My Facebook page is Native Tatanka. So just remember the Native Tatanka, and you're going to find me.
That's
without a doubt.
That's so easy.
So easy,
so
right?
Easy. Well, thanks for talking with me.
It's
I appreciate
a pleasure.
It.
Thank you very much. Thank you, guys.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down with one of my heroes in the world of professional wrestling, Road Warrior Animal. It's an honor and a privilege to have you on my podcast. How's things going here at Wrestle Legends?
Yeah, it's always great, man. It's always great to be back in the great state of Ohio.
And, well,
in Hilliard, Ohio, the matter of fact, you know, I spent not only my first years of wrestling, you know, wrestling with the NWA, Georgia Championship Wrestling, going 1 week in Ohio and 1 week, you know, Ohio Valley, 1 week in Georgia. But, you know, my son James playing football at Ohio State for 4 years, man. I pretty much lived here for 4 years in Columbus.
Is James still active in the NFL?
No, he just retired after 8 years retired, and now he's... He's an announcer in the Big Ten Network. Does the Big Ten wrap-up at the end of every week.
Okay.
And he's got his own radio show on ESPN that plays 5 days a week here in Columbus. And he actually runs the Fox NFL Twitter account.
Really?
Yeah, so he's busy, man. He's still involved with a lot of football.
Wow, man, wow. So I am going to ask if I could get your opinion on a situation that you and Hawk were involved in. I know that I've read and heard stories about the AWA tag team title situation.
Sure.
You were supposed to drop the belts to the Fabulous Swans.
Sure.
Did not. But then did drop them to Jimmy Garvin and Steve Regal. Why that team?
Well,
were you clued in on that, or was it just business?
That actually was our decision.
Okay.
Garvin and Regal, we wrestled around the horn all over the country, man, from Salt Lake City down to Ohio here and everything else. They bumped around for us like crazy. So when it came time to say, hey, we want you to drop the belts to the Fabs, not that we would have never dropped the belts to the Fabs, it's that the finish wasn't right for us.
Correct. Yeah,
they want to do the old switcheroo finish where the good, you know, beat up guy gets knocked out and referee's taking his bag, the good guy pulls him out and takes his place, right? I said, listen, Hawk and I are street fighters, man. It doesn't make sense. So Paul Ellering told us, he goes, that's not a good finish for you guys. So we get in the ring, got a picture of this. We get in the ring, all of a sudden Hawk's looking at Stan Lane
Kern.
Steve Kern, yeah, and goes, hey, listen to us and no one gets hurt. He meant to say, listen to us and nobody gets hurt, like neither team. But it came across the wrong way, and Stan Lane's eyes got about as big as saucers. He was like going, holy crap, you know. But, and so Ellery told him, he goes, you slam Kern about five times, he'll get pissed off and it'll be a DQ. Well, you know what? Hawk grabbed Kern, slammed him like five times. Kern said, screw this, went outside, got a chair and started beating us up, and we got DQ'd. So then in Denver, we dropped him to Regal and Garvin.
With some help from Michael P.S. Hayes.
Help from the Freebirds, but still, it was our decision. We did it the way we wanted to do it, and Garvin and Regal, God bless them, I think they had more freaking flyer miles in the air than any other team in the AWA at the time. So,
If I may, can I ask, who were some of the toughest teams Hawk and you faced?
Well, I think Hawk and I are as tough as opponents when we face each other in a mirror. No, but, you know, we wrestled some great teams, man. You know, Hanson and Brody, Hanson and Harley Race, Jumbo, Saruta, and Ricky Choshu, Giant Baba and Jumbo. I mean, we wrestled a lot of great Japanese teams, Yatsu and Ricky Choshu, and the Natural Disasters were another great team that Jimmy Hart coached, you know, and the Nasty Boys were also a good team. We had, it was hard. We had main events for 22 years, so hard to pick one team that was the hardest, you know.
Gotcha. I'll wait till Mr. Hart's done here.
Damn, Jimmy Garvin's always trying to steal the show.
Were there any teams that you wanted to face and you guys didn't? Because I was thinking today, there's like you wrestled a who's who of everybody.
Yeah. Today, there's not even any teams I'd want to wrestle today in today's business.
Okay.
I mean, maybe the Usos, maybe New Day, maybe, you know. But back then, I probably would have liked to face Von Erichs. We never got to wrestle with Von Erichs, you know. Probably the only other great tag team we never got to wrestle because they were great boys that could wrestle really well. Other than that, you know, I wrestled everybody from Magnum TA and Hacksaw Jim Duggan to, you know,
Powers of Pain,
to everybody, you know, everyone. Demolition. I would have liked to have had a better, longer program with Demolition. We thought we were going to be married to Demolition for 2 years, and Demolition match was over in 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, first match, done in 7 minutes. But we had great matches with us at the Hart Foundation against all four Demolition and stuff, you know, so it was pretty good.
So I'm going to ask a quick question that kind of relates to Kurt Hennig. I had read the story about a Christmas party that you threw, and at the time, I believe it was James, was being potty trained, and as a rib, Hennig took a deuce.
Oh, he took a dump in my toilet. Oh, no, in the baby chair. In the baby chair.
So how long before they told you, hey, that's Kurt? Did he let it go for a while, or did you know later that night?
I figured later on, probably that night, that it was Hennig. He's the only one that would do it. You know, let me tell you another story about Hennig. Hennig and I would play golf probably 3 or 4 times a week. Hennig was the biggest cheater in golf. He lived that Mr. Perfect gimmick to the T. He always would say, "Hey, I lost my ball." And next thing you know, he'd kick one out of a sock and it'd be right there on the green. You know?
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hennig was a cheater.
Last question. If one of your kids came and said, "Want to be in the wrestling business," would you be cool with that, given your experience?
Well, I think my kids are past their prime in wrestling.
Okay.
James could, but he doesn't need it.
Okay.
My son Joe's Joe's an Army recruiter, so he doesn't need it.
Yeah. Maybe if they, when they were in their prime, they were 21, 22, they came and said,
If they wanted to, I would just tell them, I would direct them to the right camp to go to, for one. And B, I would say, hey, listen, man, study your craft, know your history of your profession. That's the biggest thing I find out that guys today don't know. If you don't know the guys that paved the way for you, your history, you're toast. And that's about the best advice I can give them. But I wouldn't care. Whatever they wanted to do, man, I support my kids no matter what they do.
Okay. With that, again, thank you. It's been an honor, and it's been a privilege. Thank you very, very much, sir.
What a rush!
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversations with Cowboy Bob Orton Jr., Tito Santana, the One Man Gang, Tatanka, and of course, Road Warrior Animal. And I hope that you enjoyed the stories that were shared on this episode. And you can let me know if you enjoyed this episode by dropping a line over on the Facebook, Instagram, or Threads accounts. Just search for @PVDcast. You could drop me a line via email. My email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. And you can still find me on Twitter. I know, I'm still on that cesspool. Anyways, my personal handle is @PVDMVP. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about where they can hear the PVDcast. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. First off, the PVDcast is available at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. And the best place to get every single episode of this podcast, However, it's also available through all those podcasting outlets or apps. All you have to do is go to the search bar within your favorite podcasting app, put in PVDcast, and you should find it. And since we're talking about those apps and outlets, you got to do me a favor. You got to rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it lets those outlets know that you are listening. Of course, you can also subscribe, too, so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But there's still one more way that you can hear every weekly episode, and that's through the Facebook page, at PVDcast, where I do a live broadcast every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, featuring the week's episode. So that's three different ways you can hear this podcast. First, through PVDcast.com, or through any of your favorite podcasting outlets or apps, and of course, on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with the live broadcast through the Facebook page. You know what? It also dawned on me that I did not thank my great sponsor for a second time, like I like to do on episodes. So let me fit it in right here, right now. I promise I'll keep it brief. I'd like to thank World's Greatest Comics, who are located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, for their support. They are a five-star comic book store with single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, you name it, they got it. So check them out online, wgcomics.com. They're on Facebook, just search for at WG Comics. And once again, you can even stop by the store if you're in Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.